Hello, thank you for joining Toxic to Triumph. My name is Matthew Pfeiffer. In this episode, we are going to be talking about a smear campaign. I do not have a guest. This is going to be me. If you've been following me for a while, if you've been a part of this podcast for a while, you know I started out with just me talking about narcissism and talking about the tactics that they do. So we're going to go a little old school today. And with the smear campaign, one of the things that people commonly say is that when a narcissist loses control over you, they try to control the way that other people see you. Look forward to having this conversation with you, and I will talk to you soon. One of the most common tactics that a narcissist will use, especially at the end of a relationship, and it doesn't matter if we're talking about a family member, romantic partner, workplace dynamic, is the smear campaign. What is a smear campaign? It's very common saying that when a narcissist can't control you anymore, that they try to control the way that other people see you. You may have heard me say on other platforms, whether it be in my videos or even here on my podcast, that the narcissist has to win. And so what do? They try to pull people on their side, and they have to turn you into the villain. The smear campaign can be very painful. And the reason why is because they don't do this with people that you don't know. Well, let me rephrase. They do this with people that you don't know, but they really do this. They go really hard after the people that you do know, your friends, your family members. And they spread lies, rumors. Sometimes these rumors and lies can have hints of truth to them, but they're over-exaggerated. And this becomes very problematic because not only does this change people's view of you, but this also becomes very stressful as people begin to question you, question your integrity, question who you are, what you've done. And quite often, it can paint you as if you are the narcissist or as if you are the villain in the story. Because guess what? What does the narcissist do throughout the entire relationship? They do a really good job of holding their mask and making it seem as though they do nothing wrong, as though they're the innocent ones, especially if you're dealing with a covert narcissist. Because if you're dealing with a covert narcissist, what you don't realize is that the smear campaign started probably before you even broke up with them. What they do is that they start dropping hints of doubt, little seeds of doubt with each and every person in your life. This can look like them going to your pastor, going to your family members, going to your coworkers, and just saying little things like, I'm not so sure about my significant other. I'm not so sure about my husband. I'm not so sure about my wife. I don't know what's going on with them. It just seems like they're just, I don't know, they're just going through a depression. I don't know what's going on with them, but behind closed doors, I don't know. And then they just drop it right there, just dropping little seeds of doubt and causing each and every single person to question you. Well, these seeds of doubt begin to bloom once you break up or once you discard the narcissist or the narcissist discards you. What does that look like? All of a sudden, the narcissist begins a smear campaign as though they are a victim of abuse or a victim of other sorts of tactics that you may have done, and paint you out to be a villain. Paint you out to be someone who is not involved with the kids, paint you out to be someone that you're not, to cause people to question your integrity. This becomes very problematic because what happens is that you end up losing a lot of friends, a lot of family members that end up siding with the narcissist. For a lot of you, this causes a lot of pain, a lot of frustration, because this incites the big part of the problem with the relationship anyway, the fear of rejection. This is a lot of the reason why you stayed with the narcissist to begin with, because this fear of rejection, the fear of what people think of you, these people-pleasing behaviors. And all of a sudden, this comes to a head when all of a sudden it feels like your entire world is collapsing and crashing down on you because you have everyone on social media questioning you, doubting you, inboxing you, calling you, texting you. And the frustrating part about it is that oftentimes It's the people that you feel that are supposed to know you the best, that have known you the longest, that begin to question you, and not only question you, but also begin to side with the narcissist. So then what do we do about it? What do we do about the smear campaign? Because if you've been a part of it, you start to realize that trying to correct people, trying to tell your side of the story, really begins to throw gas on the flame. Because these people, what do? The people who are questioning you, they go right back to the narcissist and they begin to tell your side of the story. And they become what's called a flying monkey, where they are literally just going back and forth. Where does the term flying monkey come from? It comes from the Wizard of Oz. And if you think about the Wizard of Oz, and if you think about the Wicked Witch, what did she do? She used her flying monkeys to do all of her bidding, to do all of her bad work. And this is what the narcissist is doing, is that they're sitting back behind the scenes, creating chaos, sending people your way. And these people are, whether they do it intentionally or unintentionally, are getting information back to the narcissist, feeding this narcissist. And what are they feeding them? They're feeding them narcissistic supply. And this becomes very problematic because the narcissist is starting to get a thrill just out of creating chaos, just out of getting under your skin, just out of you defending yourself. They know that it's working. And so what happens? You defending yourself makes things worse. Because the more you defend yourself, the more that you try to explain, the more these people send information back to the narcissist, and the more that the narcissist continues to do this because they know that their tactics are working. You may have heard me say, whether it be on this platform before or on other videos, that the narcissist, all they want is the fight. They want the chaos. Narcissists and toxic people thrive in chaos. That's literally all they want. So then what do? You do absolutely nothing. You don't defend yourself. You don't go to social media. You don't throw dirt on them. You don't try to go back and forth with them. You don't contact the narcissist to try to get them to stop. You don't try to reason with them. You do nothing. Why is that? Why do we do nothing? And for some of you listening to this, you're saying to yourself, this is going to be extremely painful. What do I do about these friends and these family members who believe it? Reason why it's painful is because some of these people that have been close to you believing this, right, you know that you're about to lose them. And once again, it goes back to what we were just talking about in terms of this fear of rejection, the fear of conflict. And what are these? These are all wounds that probably started long before you even met the narcissist. Most likely these are childhood wounds, this fear of rejection and the fear of what people are thinking of you and these people-pleasing tendencies that you have. But I can tell you that you trying to correct it won't help. Now, number one, it won't help. Number two, it won't work. Number three, if someone that you have been close to, that you grew up with, that you may have considered a friend, that you may have considered a close family member, believes someone that has been abusive to you, you really have to sit back and ask yourself, are they really actually my friend? Are they really actually a true family member? Because if someone can sit there comfortably and listen to lies and listen to things that are not only untrue about you, but things that are vicious and critical about you, and comfortably listen to that and side with this person, and then not only side with this person, but then also spread these rumors themselves. That's not a friend. I don't care if you've known this person your entire life. I don't care if this person is your mother. I don't care if this person is your father. They're not in your corner. Just because someone is in your circle does not mean that this person is in your corner. Two completely different things. One of the things that you have to understand with the smear campaign is that you are 100% going to lose people out of it. You are 100% going to lose friends. You are 100% going to lose family members. Some of them are probably going to be a bit of a surprise. This is a good thing, not a bad thing. They never were your friend. They were there for the good times, and now that the bad times are here, you're able to see their true colors. So let them go. As hard as that is, you let them go. They will find out the truth later on when the narcissist implodes and when the narcissist turns on them. When the smear campaign begins to dissipate and when the smear campaign suddenly doesn't work and they're no longer useful to the narcissist and the narcissist discards them, they'll see the truth eventually. All right, so you let them go. You begin to work on yourself and you begin to work on the actual problem, right? The anxiety, the fear, right? Of losing people, the fear of rejection. People who I work with one-on-one, I tell them that the smear campaign can actually be a part of your healing process. As hard as that seems, and as impossible as that sounds, the reality of it is that this begins to expose a lot of inner work that needs to be done. The fact that people, this desire to want to please everyone and for everyone, the desire to want everyone to think and believe good things in you. The reality of it is that's just not real life. You're going to have people who appreciate you, and you're going to have people who also don't like you. And going back to not doing anything to the smear campaign, not defending yourself. Another reason why we don't defend ourselves and the reason why we don't do anything with the smear campaign is that the rules of self-love don't allow it. What do I mean by the rules of self-love? If you've been following me for a while, you know that when I talk about self-love, I'm talking about setting boundaries, not fearing conflict, but embracing conflict. When I talk about self-love, I'm talking about taking care of yourself, setting goal setting, and doing the things that you would tell your son, your daughter, your friend, your family member to do. You are deserving of the same type of love. So it's time for you to spend time with the people who aren't engaging in this, right? And even if you have your entire family, your entire circle that is engaging in this, this is time for you to reevaluate the relationships in your life. So number one, do an inventory of the people that are in your life. Number two, begin to actually deal with the actual pain and the anxiety that you feel from this smear campaign. You're going to have the anxiety. You're going to have the pain. It's going to hurt. We're not denying the hurt, but we also need to feel and experience the hurt. A lot of people say you have to feel it to heal it, and that is absolutely true. We're not avoiding pain anymore. We're actually dealing with it, and we're actually addressing the actual issue. Number three, when we talk about self-love, we don't engage in drama. What is the smear campaign? It's childish. Flat out, it's childish. It's what high school and middle school kids do. Spreading rumors, spreading lies, just to try to get people on their side and try to be the popular kid, the mean girl, or the prick that is just spreading rumors and lies about someone to try to get people to that. That's childish. Why would we engage in that? Right? So you begin to let it go. Self-love will not allow for it. Self-respect will not allow for it. Right? And you, even if you were able to convince everyone of these lies and of these rumors, guess what? The only person that needs to be convinced that these lies and these rumors are not real is you. The entire world can believe these lies and these untruths, these half-truths that the narcissist is spreading. But it's more important for you to know the truth. And it's more important for you to stand in your own truth. You'll recover from this 100%. Not only will you recover, you'll recover better, right? More healed. You'll recover as a badass, but it is more important for you to begin to let this go. You letting this go, you not engaging in this, is actually going to get this to process through faster. It might seem counterintuitive, might seem counterproductive, but the reality of it is that you not doing anything is actually the exact boundary and the exact response that you need in a situation like this. It is the proper response to a smear campaign. To bring this full circle and to kind of give you an analogy to sit with, when someone's giving you a smear campaign, when you're a part of a smear campaign, what would you do if let's say a five-year-old came up to you and they said some sort of lie like, you know, I think that I turn into an alien when everyone goes to sleep? You would just say, okay, and you would let it go, right? Because you know that that's a childish thing. That's a childish thought. It's a childish process for them to even consider that, right? Even if they were completely convinced of it, you would know that they're going to eventually grow out of it. Same thing with the smear campaign. It's childish, right? Self-love does not allow for us to engage in childish things. Thank you guys for joining me, and I will talk to you in the next episode.